This is a special message from Japan 2.0. Yeah.
This is your last
emergency
chance.
Emergency. This is probably the last episode before our contest ends. This is the contest. For this contest, we want you to send in your stories about Japan and things related to Japan. We don't have any particular theme that you need to do. It could be about anything, really.
Yeah, anything Japan. So far, you know, it's mostly been people talking about the time out here in Japan. But theoretically, even if you've never been and you like Japan, you could just tell us about when you first watched Ninja Warrior for the first time, or video games, or reading
comic books, or your friends that were into Japanese culture, yeah. Something. Any, it could be really anything.
Stories about food so far, and shopping, and that are really cool. So, yeah, literally anything, whatever it is you're into Japan, why you got into Japan, just kind of share your stories with us. We're choosing from random, just draw the hat, and we're going to give you a bag of shame.
And this bag of shame is not something to be shameful about. Actually, it's just a gift bag that is full of cool things. The gift bag has already been bought. You could look at Instagram. We have an image of it up. Well, we will podcast. Yeah. Okay. And we're going to start filling that with a whole bunch of cool stuff. And in fact, I've already gotten a couple of things lined up that I'm going to stick in there. So
by the time you hear this, you probably have a week, 7 days to send it in. Cause we'll be recording 100th episode soon after this one. And, that's, Japan 2.0.
So. Yeah. It's Japan 2.0 at gmail.com. Spell out point. So it's, and it's not O, it's zero, right?
Zero, yeah. You can do it on our Facebook, too, Messenger. I think you can send voice memos on there, too.
Yeah, it could be a voice memo, or if you want us to read it out loud, we'll read it on the podcast. As long as it's not a novel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people have it brief. If you're writing something, keep it brief.
People have asked us about Patreon before. For us, this is the best reward. So just help out, stay interactive with us. That's all we really, really want. So. If you've been on the fence, this is your last chance. We'd love to have more people. We definitely could use a couple more. So,
yeah, we want to hear from you guys. Yeah. This is your chance. If you want a package from David and Matt, make sure you do this.
All right.
And now on to the show.
On this episode of Japan 2.0,
this guy comes out, this mask on. This mask is amazing. It has fake eyes painted on it. And everybody just starts shouting, Caramel Boy.
Oh, that was Caramel Boy?
Yeah.
That
really Caramel
on?
Boy! Mystical world of game and wonder. Arcade sensors like no other. Nostalgia, yeah. Every moment, everything you see. When I jump all on it, damn. Walking through these halls, my childhood is written on these walls. I breathe the air deep down. I know this place is where I belong. My destiny, my wildest dream, my fantasy, my inspiration and my energy. Everything I'm point, this place has led me, there's a place that's better, my fascination can't go on forever, so real, like a faded meeting with a friend who knew shape from beginning. 2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.2.
Oh, we got the wrestling.
Yeah, the wrestling.
Japanese wrestling.
Yeah, we're going to talk about pro wrestling today. Yeah, pro wrestling. Yeah.
It's one of those things, you know, that Japan, I think, is very well known for. It's like the cult following. There's been ups and downs. I think it's kind of at a high point right now, wrestling in Japan. And I mean, this isn't, if you're like a diehard wrestling fan who wants to know like all the names and leagues, this isn't going to be the show for you.
No.
So
this is an amateur. I'm not even a big pro wrestling fan. You know, like I used to watch pro wrestling back home. I'd watch the WWF when I was a kid.
Who was your favorite,
you know,
wrestler growing up?
Oh man, I would have to be probably Mankind. If I'm going to be honest,
Mr. Sacco,
yeah.
Do you know Mr. Sacco?
Mr. Sacco, Mankind is probably my favorite, like legitimate, like favorite wrestler.
The Mandible Claw.
I do love Doink the Clown. You know, I like the weird ones. You know, Goldie and. Gold Dust.
Yeah.
And of course Andre the Giant, you know, he was an amazing presence.
I like the Legion of Doom. You remember those guys? They're a little bit older than the Ultimate Warrior times, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I was really into D-Generation X. I'm ashamed the people who coined Suck It, you know.
Okay.
I'm super embarrassed to admit it, but to be honest, that was like the peak of me like wanting to drop out of school and become a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
So at that time, so that was me in like ninth grade, really like in like 1997 or so. And back then, I do remember hearing about Japanese wrestling, you know, and that was an interest in Japan at the time. So I probably wasn't just your average American kid. But yeah, there's like this guy named Sabu, I think his name was. And he was doing like backflips and the bombs. And I just remember the Japanese wrestling was a little more violent. America had a league called ECW that was pretty violent too. And there was a lot of crossover between those two leagues. I don't know the name of the Japanese league. I wasn't that diehard. But all I really just remember was like a friend telling me, and he's like, "Have you watched Japanese wrestling?" I was like, "No." He's like, "All right, it's like the most violent, insane thing ever. But there's just like businessmen in the crowd, and like their faces are just really stern, and they're just like clapping politely as if they're like at sumo." You know, there's no
difference. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, like I can't vividly actually remember seeing that, but in my mind, through that kid's story, that is my image of like backflip onto a bomb, like bloody face, and then just a bunch of businessmen like silently clapping in the background. So Matt, I've actually still not gone. But hey, Matt's going to tell us if that's true or not today.
Yeah, so...
were there backflips? Were there bombs? Were there businessmen silently clapping?
Yeah, I'll get into all that. Yeah. I'll go into my background with Japanese wrestling. Right. And it kind of goes a little bit further back to when I like was a small kid. There's a manga, an anime called Kaneko Man.
Mm,
and it's goodness. it's a famous wrestling manga, and it has these very distinct characters that don't have ears, and they have like, instead of having big hair, lips, like they have the big like lips. It's like luchador masks are actually their faces.
Yes.
It's kind of the best way to describe it. Yeah.
But it's awesome.
And they used to have these toys when I was a kid called the Ultimate Muscle. And Ultimate Muscle was sold in like these packages, and they were these little rubber guys, and you opened it up and you got like six guys. And part of the fun was going to the department store and like looking at all the different wrestlers that were in each kit and picking out like the one, oh man, this pack is really good because it has like four of these guys I don't have, right?
Yeah.
And they were super cheap. And as a kid, I loved those toys. And they had the wrestling ring.
Did they have a different name in the States?
Ultimate Muscle. Ultimate Muscle was their name. And our Muscle Men is what we all called them. Yeah, yeah. And they had a wrestling ring you could buy that had, I can't remember if it had like the stretchy, you know, ropes, like ropes and stuff. But I just remember thinking that was so cool. And so I would make my own with boxes and stuff and wrestle the characters. And I had no idea these things came from Japan, right? But it's one of those things that like,
connection?
So I saw, it was when I started buying manga from the Chinese Chinese bookstores, when I'd see like the Kaneko Man on there, and I would be like, oh man, I know these guys. These are all, these are Ultimate Muscle. You know, I didn't realize they came from Asia. Obviously, after I saw that, I was like, oh, this is definitely manga. You know, it's definitely Japanese characters. So I was really excited. And so I knew that there was a wrestling culture, you know, pretty early on in Japan. As soon as I found out that like that was a manga and that was a anime, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is definitely a Japanese product, right? And I've seen serious, like you were talking about the violent wrestling and the ones where people get hit in the head and it's really extreme and there's lots of flipping and acrobatics and stuff. And I've seen some of that online. I've seen some of that on television, you know, probably on like 60 Minutes or something where they were profiling like some wrestlers or there was a story that came out of Japan, you know.
I realized I said the wrong name before. I said Sabu. He's another crazy wrestler. Hayabusa was who I was
saying. Hayabusa.
Sorry. Someone out there is screaming.
yeah. There you go. Good. Sorry. Good save, David.
I just saved myself. Yeah. That's true. All the famous stories.
So that's what I knew. Yeah. But when I moved out here, I noticed that there were posters and DVDs.
So that was coming together. Yeah. Like, to be honest, I don't think we've ever really discussed wrestling a whole lot in our life before. I mean, we brought it up occasionally. I think I told Matt my, you know, old history of backyard wrestling and stuff. But Fire Pro Wrestling was a game also really
influenced. Yeah.
It was the first game I ever imported. I had a mod on my PlayStation 4, actually, to get it. I think they had it when it came out like 2 years ago again, too. But, it was, like, us out at a bar one night just being like, hey, I think Matt brought it up. He's like, hey, man, you ever see those wrestling posters here? And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, dude, like, you're the person to go see this with, obviously. I've never seen it and thinking, like, oh, no one's going to want to go do that, you know, with me?
Yeah.
Because they are so bizarre and busted and, like, out there.
Yeah, so
the posters alone are, like, a thing, like...
big cities have posters for wrestling shows up in, you know, like usually around bars
on or the garage, like the shutters of buildings. They're in like very particular places.
Odd spots. Odd sometimes. Spots. Yeah,
you gotta be in the underground.
Usually like a restaurant will really like cater to like wrestling themed stuff. So you'll see like a restaurant will have like all these posters for wrestling or UFC, you know, kind of like mixed martial arts, you know, competitions, things like that. And you know that the person in there must be really into that stuff or is related to it somehow.
There's not like a lot of money in the industry, you know. It's definitely a heartfelt thing he can kind of feel.
Yeah.
But anyway, these posters are like...
I mean, there's the Tokyo Pro Circuit or Tokyo Pro Wrestling.
Whatever the big one is.
Yeah,
it has a league of its own.
A logo with like a tiger or a lion on the t-shirt. It's actually a really cool design.
So that one's like... That's what you'd expect.
It's like the WWF.
It seems like very kind of straight or whatever. But to be honest, I mean, at the time, we didn't even know. I would just see these other ones more, actually, than that one.
Yeah.
Or they caught my attention.
On our day-to-day life, you see these and they stick out.
There's just some characters that are just too eccentric to like walk by and not do a double take.
For one, they take a lot from Lucha Libre, you know, Mexican wrestling. They have the Mexican masks. They have the like dragons on them.
It's more of a showmanship kind of. It's almost like theater.
Exactly.
Like the vibe you get from these posters.
But you can tell this is going to be like a kind of a more zany show, you know.
There's not a lot of hulking muscles. There's not a lot of machismo. It's more like anime or something, right?
It really is like animated. It's colorful posters, colorful characters, colorful masks.
And there's usually some foreigners on there too.
That's always
interesting to see. But
there was a guy repping where was he repping? He was repping like Puerto Rico or something one of the wrestlers that we saw. I don't know, he was wearing a mask.
Anyway, there's some real like borderline like racist looking characters too. Like, it's just like bizarre. Like, there's like, you know, B-Man, he's like wearing a B-suit, he's got like homemade makeup it looks like his mom made, or you see Halloween costumes sometimes that are better than some of these things too, you know.
Yeah,
so just it's really low budget, low rent, which is like right up our alley. So years, I mean, what, 5 years now?
Yeah, 5 years.
We always talk about it, always, this is gonna be the year, this is gonna be the time, and we just never done it. We still haven't gone together. But
so I would, like I was saying, there's a restaurant that will have like the poster. They always update the poster for the next pro wrestling gig. And I kept walking by this one, and it's been eating at me for years. Like, I was like, yeah, I got to do this. Friend of the show, Tom, I went and I saw Sumo Wrestling with him, and I believe we did an episode on that.
We haven't done an episode on
Sumo? No. Well, that's an upcoming episode, I guess. We were talking about, we really wanted to do Sumo Wrestling, you know, go to see Sumo Wrestling together. And then we also wanted to see pro wrestling. Unfortunately, we never got around to seeing pro wrestling together. So, but the next time Tom comes out, when he comes to visit, we'll go for sure.
He's not dead. He just moved.
He's just a world away. Yeah. Miss you, Tom. But I had to go. Finally, I was talking with the coworker, and the coworker really wanted to go as well. So we made a plan to go check out Osaka Pro Wrestling.
Is that the name of the league?
Yeah, it is.
Osaka Pro? All right.
Osaka Pro Wrestling.
I feel like Osaka has to be the wrestling capital. Like, Osaka is such a wrestling kind of city. It's a zany, loud, brash. Like, it's got to be have the most wrestling fans or something, you know?
It's got to be, one of the pinnacles, because there are many different wrestling leagues here. There's
so
the more serious
one. Kobe one, you know, it's particular to Kobe too, so.
Yeah, sure. And we'll have a story about that in Motomachi a little later. I think we should talk about the place in your town. But finally I went to Lawson's. You have to buy the tickets I bought the tickets online. Okay. I think you could buy tickets at the door now that I've gone. Like, I think it's possible, but you might be limited as to which seats that you get.
Right.
There were three tiers of prices. One was for 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000 yen.
Okay.
So that's like $30, $40, $50. Mm. And children are allowed to come, and they're 1,000 yen.
All right.
Yeah. There were even some babies there.
Wow.
Like, there were some women like carrying babies and had babies in like the little strap, you know? So it's definitely family friendly. Yeah, there was
back home. I mean, there are probably like young kids there, but that's, it looks pretty wild. The WWF.
Yeah. It can be wild. Yeah.
So family friendly.
Family friendly vibe. Yeah.
When you walked in, like, what was your first impression?
Well, I will say this: tickets are a little difficult to get. You know, you have to use like the lobby or the Lopi. Yeah. Or the 7-Eleven pay system. Yeah. So buying tickets, it requires some navigation on Japanese menus. Mm-hmm. And it took me a little while. It took me maybe like 30 minutes to get my tickets. You know, right. You know how it goes. Yeah, like you make a mistake and you have to go back and fix things again.
Yeah.
But if you go online, there's a couple of tutorials on mm-hmm. YouTube to help you with that kind of stuff. The tickets we got were the 4,000. Tickets. Okay, so we got the middle of the road tickets. And to be honest, it doesn't make a difference, you know, especially with the Osaka Pro Wrestling, which is the league that I saw.
Yeah.
It was just in a community center. Mm. So they set up the stage and the ring in the middle.
Yeah.
And then everybody else is just around. Mm. And it's just four rows of seats. So, I mean, it wasn't like stadiums. Yeah, it wasn't stadium seating or anything. Yeah. And we were on the...
Were they foldable chairs?
Yeah, it was just like chairs foldable. That they just popped out. Yeah, yeah.
Were any of the chairs used to hit anyone?
No, there wasn't any chair shots. Yeah. There was a big fan of like paper, like you know how they. I think it's kind of like what teachers used to use back in the day. They'd tape like a strap of fans of mm-hmm. Paper together and hit the tables with it. Whap!
Yeah.
Like that. That was on there. Yeah. So, there's no more corporal punishment in Japanese schools anymore. So, just so you know,
four rows deep,
no alcohol. People did bring their like own drinks.
Oh.
So you can bring, I think sodas, teas, water and stuff. But, I didn't see anyone drinking alcohol the whole time I was there.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It feels like a very family friendly event.
Wow. Do you feel it was like, yeah, keep going.
Yeah, yeah. So that's just the setup, okay? Yeah. We're going to take a quick break right here. And when we come back, I'm going to get into the actual matches and stuff like that. All right. And we're back.
Special segment. We have a listener request.
Okay.
I don't think it's worthy of a whole episode. Just kind of a quick question. Recently, we got a question, and it was asking about shrines and cities. The small little shrines, you know, are one of the coolest things in Japan. You'd be downtown in a big city, and there's these little shrines, and you kind of pop in there, and it feels like you're in nature. And sometimes it feels like you're not in a big city.
Yeah.
And literally, you walk 10 seconds out, and bam, there's cars and high-rise buildings, but somehow they really encapsulate the feeling of nature in a small space. So a person kind of just wants to kind of talk about the experience with those and that they're around. And then they also kind of want to like the etiquette while at a shrine. So I just know like in Kobe in particular, we have one or two of those kind of little small shrines or temples. I have a hard time distinguishing between the two sometimes. And I honestly use them a lot. I'm a big city person. And sometimes 2-3 hours in the city, I start to feel kind of tired, you know? I do kind of just go sit in there sometimes, and sometimes it's kind of rare, hard to find seats in Japan too. And these shrines won't have like an actual seat, but there's kind of like areas or like stones or things you can sit on sometimes. So yeah, I do think your first time you'd be like, oh, can I sit on that stone there? Is it okay? But I've always kind of viewed shrines here or temples as like parks almost. Sometimes Japan doesn't have a ton of parks, depending on what city you're in. So I've always used, it seems like other local people do too, use them as kind of like a park to kind of just sit at. And I would say most people who are at shrines or temples, the majority aren't actually praying. They're kind of just taking a walk or looking around, or they don't seem to be, you definitely can see people there who are praying and, seems to be pretty serious for them. But at least my local ones, just seems like more like, it's used like a park. So I think, like eating and like, can you wear hats and stuff? I know I've been like the Vatican and Rome, and I would actually say, a Christian church is more strict than shrines or temples. There aren't really that many rules to follow. A lot of festivals are held at shrines and temples, and people are getting wasted out of their mind on those grounds, you know? I would say you were not on a regular day, on a non-Matsuri day, you're not going to see like people drinking alcohol there. You'll see big caskets of sake, but yeah, you're not going to see like a lot of people.
Yeah, those are donated to the gods, the temple deities, yeah, and yeah, stuff. Yeah.
You're not going to get kicked out by any means. Like, you'll see, but you'd be like, if you're a foreigner, they'll just think, oh, they don't really know what's going on. If you look Asian, they might think you're homeless or something. It's just like socially like a little strange to do, but yeah, etiquette. I mean, even if you wanted to pray and stuff there, you could go for it. I would say like, yeah, but depending on your own beliefs, that might be kind of weird to do or not. But yeah, no one's gonna see you and be like, oh, you're doing it wrong, you're not praying in the right position or no. something, you know.
I find like people that I've met at the temples and shrines mm-hmm. have been very accommodating and also very helpful to like help us through some of the mm-hmm. routines and some of the traditions.
Okay.
So there've been a couple of times that I've gone, and usually there's like a small area where water's running.
Yes.
And it's like a big, like, I wouldn't say bucket. It's like this giant rock usually, or
it's overflowing. So it's like an infinity. Like it hits the top and it flows down to another area.
Like an infinity fountain or something.
Down below it.
Yep. Yeah. And sometimes it's a statue of a dragon or sometimes it's a statue of a rabbit. It depends on the shrine and who the deities are at the shrine.
Yep.
But it has, there's a little cup, and that's for washing your hands. So mm-hmm. One part of the etiquette is to wash your hands before you go and you do some of the praying.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially if you're going to go out and ring the bell, there's these big bells at most shrines, at least the larger ones,
mm-hmm.
where you're supposed to clap a number of times, ring yes. the bell, clap a number of times again, throw and then bow.
In. And you throw some money in. Don't forget that.
And you throw some money in. Of course, you make a donation. And
there are certain, this is where we're going to, our knowledge is, there's certain amounts that mean certain things, yeah. like odd numbers and even numbers. But again,
I believe it's two times, ring the bell, then three times, then bow. But I don't quote me on that. I'm not an expert. Yeah. Once again, like I said, I've been to shrines where people have also, and sometimes it's the people working there, but other times it's just like somebody there that you know, is also visiting to say their prayers or to pay tribute,
mm-hmm.
and then they come up and they say, "This is how you do it." You know, they've been able to talk with me. You know, mm-hmm. I find that I always bump into somebody that speaks English at a shrine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, Japanese.
I would just say, in general, if you just do what we just said, go there, don't worry about it. If you're trying to do, I don't know, something else like crazy, maybe read about it on the internet. But yeah, for sure, the first time I went there, yeah, for me, it feels a little sacrilege. So like, I'm not personally religious, so I like to go up and to do some of those things, you know. For me, it feels a little bit wrong. But like, there's really cool things to do, I think, even if you're not religious or spiritual. Which are like, there's these wooden cards you can like put a wish on, mm-hmm. you know, that you hang up. Yeah. And again, when you buy those, there's like a little shops there that are outside. You know, you just point to like these little wooden plaques, and every temple has their own version, which is really cool too.
Yeah.
But people will definitely like kind of like walk you over and point and just mimic if you can't speak, you know?
Yeah. They'll show you where to put those. Usually you write a prayer super on something like that, and then they'll show you where to put it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you could get figurines at the temples, and you could use those to put on the shrine, so you can include yours on the shrine, you know, you like purchase it and then put it somewhere, place it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like the shrine near my home has this whole temple dedicated to motherhood. And so you could buy a little figurine of a mother and then you place it in this group where there's like thousands of these figurines, you know, like people have already placed them, you know.
Right.
And it's pretty impressive. And it usually is like a couple of bucks to do that. And you could just also buy one and just, I mean, I think you could take it with you. You know, I don't think you'd have to leave it there necessarily. But that's usually what people do. You could also buy your fortune. Yeah. And if you're with someone that can read Japanese, they can read your fortune for you.
Sorry I lost your name. We have one more question. I think this one will be really fast. We'll kind of go through.
Okay. So, do you know who sent the question from the last one?
I'm sorry. I forgot your name. Okay. I can't find it.
We'll try to put it in the liner notes.
This one, though, is from Glenn. And Glenn says, love the podcast. Thank you, Glenn. He's going to Japan next week. And just noticed Wednesday Campanella is playing in Kyoto. I just saw this now, actually. He wrote this like 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
I'm so sad because I would have gone because her show is great. So this is going to be too late for you, but maybe other people are wondering this. Sorry, Glenn. Can you go into the concert after the start time in Japan? Are they really strict? It's a multi-band concert, and I'm worried I won't get there until after the first band's on. You can definitely show up after the first band.
Yeah.
Whether you'll get a good spot or not, you know, that's a whole other question. But
I find they're more strict at the beginning of the concert. You know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
if you get there early, who gets in first? Those are crazy systems.
It's crazy. They'll put you into different groups, and then they'll send in one group at a time.
That, to me, is not the norm. That's happened twice of all the concerts I've been to here. So the bigger show you go to, that's more common.
Yeah.
I don't like a lot of really famous people.
I think it also depends on where they have a queue.
Yeah.
Like, so if they're in the place we were at, it was on a busy street, so they didn't really
have a lot of areas there for a large queue. They didn't do that.
Maybe they weren't as big as...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe the shows weren't as packed as... That was probably the busiest show I've seen at Universe. So.
Yeah. So now you can show up late for sure. But I can see why, you know, Japan sometimes is strict with time. We wouldn't think that.
Yeah, I wonder if like certain types of performances might be more troublesome, like if you were going to...
Like classical or something.
Yeah, classic music. Or maybe doing opera or something like that. But I mean...
Normal pop music.
Who's going to go to that, you know? This is Japan 2.0. Sure. You guys aren't going to classical orchestra.
Wednesday Campanella.
Yeah.
So anyway, just a couple of listener questions. Keep sending those. Love answering them.
Yeah.
Sorry if we forget your name sometime, but we answer your questions.
Now it's time for the main event. Yeah, so the wrestling itself was amazing. Osaka Pro Wrestling, like I said, is like the middle grade wrestling league. Mm-hmm. So like these guys are kind of like amateur professionals, right?
Okay.
And
do you think they have day jobs?
Some of them might.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the kind of thing where I'm sure some of these guys are dedicated to this troupe, mm-hmm. but then maybe some of them have to have like day jobs and then they come out and do wrestling.
Honestly, every city seems to have their own one. If they travel around much or they kind of just stick in the city, you know?
So there were some people claiming other cities from Japan.
Were they
so
bad though? Like that's called a heel.
They're kind of like the heels. Yeah. That, like there was one guy from Nagasaki and he was the only guy from out of town. The rest of them were claimed to be from either strange characters or from Osaka.
Mm.
And the heels are typically the stranger characters. You know, they're who knows where they're from. Sure. They're mysterious or something.
Yeah.
But at the beginning of the show, they all come out. All the wrestlers of the night came out on stage. Mm. They had a quick introduction where they talked to the crowd. They played some music and everybody kind of danced on stage. The heels kind of just looked angrily at...
You show me the dancing. That's not like a wrestling dancing. It was so silly.
Well, that part, when that happened, like those crazier characters, like the characters with the wild masks, they were kind of dancing. They were kind of doing that stuff. The heels are just standing around, like, you know, with the arms crossed or just kind of like walking around the ring trying to look tough. And then they all cleared off. They had a little entranceway, you know, like a wrestling entranceway built, you know.
Did they have intro music?
Yeah, but the funny thing was, so I was like, they started playing some intro music and I was really excited. I was like, yeah, here they come, you know. But it seemed like the intro music went a really long time before the wrestler actually came out. And then the guy finally came out and I thought he'd be doing dances or like talking to the crowd or something. He just kind of like the first guy that came out just kind of came out and he just went on stage and he was kind of like seemed indifferent.
So he wasn't pumped running down, giving high fives.
My first like experience was like, what is wrestling going to happen? Like, what is this? And then the second guy came out. It was his partner. Mm-hmm. It was a tag. The first match was a tag team match. Yeah, 3v3.
Every guy has their own song.
They all came out with different songs. Okay. But the second guy was the same thing. Like the music came out and he came out and he was really like too cool for school kind of. He had like kind of a young guy haircut, bleach blonde, you know, kind of the mushroomy longer cut. And he just kind of came out and he was just kind of walking on stage and he climbed up. He didn't wave to the crowd, nothing like that. And I was like, man, okay, this is not starting out great. And then the music started to play and then this guy comes out, this mask on. This mask is amazing. It has like fake eyes painted on it. And everybody just starts shouting, Caramel Boy.
Oh, that was Caramel Boy?
Yeah.
That
really Caramel on? Boy. Yeah, he came out, gets on stage, starts doing this crazy like dance. And even one of his partners got on and was like dancing with him. And then their group was like dancing together. And Caramel Boy is like the skinniest wrestler there. His costume looks like, yeah, it was made at Daiso for like,
first
you know.
Of all, I've never seen dancing and wrestling yet. Together, right? Like, I've never seen a wrestler dance. Like, I wonder why that's a thing.
So I think, you know, we had an art episode recently and we were talking about zany Japan.
Yeah.
This is definitely the more zany wrestling. You know, yeah. Back home, I loved Kaiju Big Battle, which is like a people dressing up in kaiju giant monster costumes and fighting with each other.
Yeah, super low budget.
I never got to see it, but I used to buy the DVDs and stuff. I love, and if you haven't seen Kaiju Big Battle, you go on YouTube and watch that.
Was that in the States or in Japan?
It's in the States. Yeah, so it's people that had a reverence for Japanese wrestling and also Japanese kaiju. So I highly recommend, if you like those things, check out Kaiju Big Battle.
I have a quick question. Are all kaiju from Ultraman? Is there, like, other kaiju?
Kaiju are just giant monsters. So Godzilla, Gamera.
Okay. But Ultraman, like, whenever we look them up, it always seems to come back to Ultraman for me.
Yeah, I think Ultraman pioneered it. Right. Well,
but they existed before that.
Godzilla pioneered it. Okay. And then everything else that came after was kind of
Godzilla's
like...
Godzilla's before Ultraman?
Yo, yeah. Because Ultraman, I believe, is based on Jet Jaguar, who is a Godzilla character.
Okay.
Anyways, I might have to do my own kaiju episode.
Ali and I have been getting into kaiju in the last six months.
I'll show you some places to go.
All right.
But,
called Ali, by the way.
Ollie? Oh, what? No, that's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, Kaiju Big Battle. Look up Kaiju Big Battle, by the way, on YouTube. Yeah, this is going to fall on the wormhole.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
So this guy was zany. He was zany in the lines of Kaiju Big Battle. You know, he was a character, a cartoon character in the wrestling ring. So the heels start coming out, and they're like some of the masked wrestlers, and they were more serious. There was a guy called like Scorpion, and he had these two like long whippy like hairstyles that he was whipping people with and stuff. And those guys were more serious, and they came out and they came on stage and just like showed their muscles and did like one of them did like a backflip, you know, to show like how acrobatic he was. And then the bell rings, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Everyone goes silent. So, like, you know, there was a lot of like, yeah, you know. And then all of a sudden it was quiet. And then it was kind of weird. Yeah, so there was announcers, but they didn't say anything.
It's not play-by-play, like he's
going. No, they didn't do that at all. They were just...
silence. Like, you hear them stomping around.
On occasion, they would say, like, something like, so-and-so is here, or so-and-so, you know, Caramel Boy... has won, you know. Oh, that was it. And
the crowd's not cheering.
When the actual moves start happening, then people cheered, right?
Okay.
Like, so like if somebody did a backflip and then into like a leg flip, like where they grab their neck with the legs and then flip them, or they did thank you. You're going to know all the terms. I don't know them. Yeah. I know pile driver. That happened a few times.
Yeah.
So this was pretty straightforward tag team match, you know, like they was very acrobatic. Like I said, the heels had like their special techniques, which was like
the hair whip.
And then of course there was Caramel Boy, who was just like silly and wild.
Caramel Boy have a finisher? Did he have like a finishing move?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of, you know, I'm not well versed in the different moves, but I mean, it was stuff like where they were climbing up on the
acrobatic,
and jumping down and slamming people. But the funny thing that I noticed in the first round was there are these people in the audience. They, while it's totally silent and quiet, they just shouted the name of the wrestler that they supported. So all of a sudden, I just start hearing Carmel like that.
And then
I turn around. I couldn't see who did that. And then I would look on the other side and I'd go, hey, I see somebody else go, Caramel! Like that. And I go, are they saying Caramel? And I start looking around. And I finally catch this old woman. And she's like, like in her maybe like late 50s. And she's you know, she just looks really intense, like she's watching it really intensely. And she kind of like pops up in her seat whenever she goes, Caramel. And then she sits back down. And that was it. And it was awesome. Like, I was like, that lady is so cool. Like, I love that.
Did you shout out
ever? Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was Caramel was my boy. Yeah. Caramel boy. Right. Yeah, yeah. And so that match was over. And there's a slight intermission. Yeah. And then I see Caramel Boy come up and he goes and he sits next to the announcer. And then he starts announcing instead of the announcer. So like the announcer wasn't even really doing much.
So the next match and Caramel Boy is announcing.
Yeah, he announced the next match out. And then so the next group comes out and that was a pretty good, it was a pretty standard, you know, wrestling match. And then there was another brief intermission. And I noticed that, like, some of the wrestlers get off the stage. And they don't go backstage. They just go up to, the, like, the merch shops.
Yeah.
And they start manning their own merch shops. Yeah, so when I first came in, there were all these merch shops. And no one was at them. So you can buy anything. And then I was like, well, who do I ask to buy, you know, some of this merch? And then I just noticed, like, as they finish wrestling, they just go back to their merch shops and they're selling their own stuff.
Yeah, so Matt showed me a video. Like, a match is going on and he's, like, zooms in to, like, there's, like, a bear guy.
Oh, man.
And he's just standing in the corner just looking so sad. Like,
well, that's
so weird.
That's what I was getting to. Like, the second match was pretty straightforward. It was exciting but nothing special. And the third match, they ring the, they play the music, and this guy comes out in a kabuki costume. He's got like the face paint and like this gold like kimono and a fan, and he's very chubby, like a very chubby
shirtless
guy. Well, he wasn't shirtless at first. He comes out and he does this whole kabuki dance, and he's singing, and like there's music. The music's really intense, and he's got his fan out, and he's doing all this stuff. And then he gets on the stage, takes off his robe, and is like posing, like this big fat guy, like posing in the ring, and he looks great. And then all of a sudden, the music changes to like some really poppy, silly music, and this guy, fat guy in a white bear costume, comes out, and they go, "Shiro Kumara," and he, as he's coming down this to come to the stage, he just starts making noises like this. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm gonna try to get some of the sounds in the episode. But he rolls onto the stage and then he falls asleep. Like that is that so we have no idea like what we're in for now, right? He just rolls on and he's just laying there, and as periodically he just goes and so we were like, okay, this is gonna be good. Either really bad or really good. And so the match starts, the bell rings, and then it was just theatrics the whole time. Like the guy that was like the kabuki guy, he climbs up onto the, they do some basic wrestling. He picks up the bear off the floor, he throws the bear around a bit, but the bear seems like really lethargic. And then the bear, he climbs up onto the kabuki guy climbs up onto the ring, the ropes, and the bear guy is kind of like holding him a little bit, and he walks along the rope like up to the top. So it wasn't really, you could tell it wasn't a real fight, right? It was all choreographed, like, you know, staged theatrics. And there was this great part where the kabuki guy is like, he's hitting him with that that paper thing I was telling you about. He's hitting the bear, and then he turns around, and the bear goes like, and he pulls his claws up, and he does like a scratch on the guy's back, and the kabuki guy just kind of spins around in the on the in the ring, and it like you know, and then he stops, and the bear guy just scratches him on the back again. And Emily goes like, "Oh, I just really want a back scratch right now. That looks so good." But that was his like special technique. And yeah, man, that match was amazing. I'll try to post some of that on Instagram too.
Were there any like belts involved, like belt matches?
Yeah. Guys came out. So the final match of the night was some more serious guys. Like some, you could tell they're like the pros. I don't know if they were on like television back in the day, and now they're like, you know, the kind of like the older guys that are still doing it. And but they came in with the gold belt, and that was another theatrical, like really good lucha libre kind of style wrestling where these guys are pretty intense. And there were a lot of backflips, a lot of like pile drivers, a lot of the moves, the signature moves that you want to see, right?
Right.
And then there was one guy in there that was kind of like the legend, and everybody was shouting his name, but he was very much like old timer. Like he didn't have the moves like he used to. He was huge. I mean, he was a big dude, but you could tell he just couldn't be as acrobatic as he once was. But yeah, man, that was an awesome match too. And in that match, yeah, that's where like Shiro Kuma went back to like the corner of the room and was like lurking in the background. Yeah. And, my coworker was like cracking up because like, it was ridiculous, you know, the bear just back there kind of like looked like he was falling asleep.
Part of the reason like I liked wrestling growing up was like the storyline and like, you want to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Do you feel like... the people, was there any like story like that, not like their backstory, I'm sure they all had like backstories, but do you felt like this is progressing any kind of narrative, or like you'd want to go the next time to see like what happens with, or not really, do you feel like this is more like here's some events that have like these kind of static backstories and you just kind of come support your person?
I feel like there was a little bit of that, but I think for what Osaka Pro Wrestling's trying to do, it's more spectacle.
Okay.
You know?
So it's more the acrobatics.
Yeah, it's more the acrobatics.
Do they get
it's more
on the mic moves. And talk a lot?
Not really, you know? A couple of people, so some of the heels came and they were talking into the microphone. The final match was like the more serious guys, and they came on and they kind of chatted with one another.
Okay.
So there was a little bit of it.
Some story.
Yeah, and even the Kabuki guy and Shiro Kuma, they both had some history, obviously, some history with one another. Yeah. But
were there any girls, like girl wrestlers?
No,
like,
no,
like
no.
On the side supporting. And
so
like,
yeah,
bikinis, you know.
At the end, I'll talk about that stuff. So yeah, no, it was all guys in this wrestling league, and there was four matches in total. It ended up being about an hour, maybe an hour and a half in length. They have a short intermission in the middle where you could go out and use the toilet and get like drinks and stuff. Those are the basics of Osaka Pro Wrestling.
Right.
They also gave us some flyers, and so this is where the women come in. They were advertising like a women's pro wrestling league, and there were some shows coming to Osaka.
Okay.
That seemed like they were more of like a traveling troupe, but it also looked pretty cool, you know, like there were girls in like some pretty awesome costumes and stuff. And it didn't seem too risque. It seemed like still wrestling first, you know. Yeah, there were obviously a couple of them that probably play up the sexuality card, right? But yeah, it was more expensive, way more expensive. It was like $70 for like the cheap tickets.
Yeah.
So obviously that's going to be probably bringing more people, and it seemed a little more serious as well.
Okay.
Osaka Pro Wrestling also has a wrestler, and I was a little disappointed. Some of the wrestlers that I've seen on the posters weren't there. One is Colonel Sanders.
Oh yeah.
So Colonel Sanders, there's a guy wearing a Colonel Sanders costume and mask, and I was disappointed I didn't get to see him. But you know, I plan on going back.
Yeah,
I had such a good time.
We gotta like record there.
Yeah, and you gotta go. Yeah, you're gonna love it. Yeah. The group of people that were there, it was a pretty diverse crowd. It seemed like there were some people that were like intense wrestling heads, well as just like families that were like, this is a cool community event. It seems like they were trying to do things, like they had a little charity going on as well, so I think they are trying to give back to like some charities and things like that. About it was for disabled children, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool to see that as well. So it's something worth supporting, you know. I mean, these guys are put it out there. They put on a good show.
Yeah.
And they're very physical, you know, which is something that I appreciate, you know. It's got to be a hard job, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Cool.
But yeah, wrestling, Osaka Pro Wrestling.
Let's do a follow-up live from the the ring.
Yeah, I'd like to do some other wrestling events, you know, in town. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, the more professional, you know, like, A-class wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also in your neighborhood in Motomachi.
Yeah,
there's a wrestling bar, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, I think that place, man, I've tried to go. I think they do, like, 4 events a year, and you gotta just know when it's coming up, you know? I think normally it's a bar where you would watch professional wrestling. It's kind of the reason they go there, almost like a sports bar. But, yeah, they did have a ring in there a couple of years back. I don't know if anyone has ever successfully seen it, but, I mean, that would have to be super low budget because that place is pretty small. So, yeah, I bet it's like one match a night or something. But, yeah, it's called a Ring Soul, if you can figure it out. Anyone, listener, I know we have some Kansai listeners.
Yeah.
A bar, Ring Soul, in Motomachi.
But they always have advertised some, like, posters for Kobe wrestling and stuff.
Sure,
Kobe's now, I'd love to go see other people.
My coworker's been, he said it sounds more low budget than what you mentioned. He said, like, the fans, like, put together the ring and take it apart after, you know?
What?
And that not only are they selling their merch to wrestlers, but they're like selling the food. So you go buy the food and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome that they have food, though. I wish I had food. Yeah. So, yeah. I would have bought food from Shiro Kuma.
Yeah. But that's wrestling in a nutshell. Hopefully we do a part two someday. But definitely, you know, we cover Japanese subcultures. That's kind of our thing. And yeah, wrestling's a big one.
So yeah, I'll definitely.
We've been saving this one, you know.
Definitely be going back. Yeah.
Cool. I'm looking in my room right now with all the records. I have a good song I like to play, but I'm trying to think, like, what's the best wrestling?
Well,
something that's got a wrestling vibe to it.
Do you have anything? Because
go.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, we got to listen to the Kaneko Man.
Oh, okay.
The Kaneko
awesome.
Man theme. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
great.
So I'll get something from the Kaneko Man anime. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Great idea. Cool.
And thank you for listening to Japan 2.0. You can find us all over the internet at Japan 2.0. Yeah. Be sure to, if you want to do the contest, this is your last chance, you know. So send your audio files and your written stories to japan2.0@gmail.com. Spell out point and a zero at the end.
Yep. Thanks for listening. And
until next time.
Go find your favorite Japanese wrestler. Go on YouTube.
Ding ding.
Hello. Go fight. Watashi wa